The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. There was once a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. A man walked into my office one day, and he sat down, and tears began to stream from his eyes. He was an alcoholic, and he had struggled with that addiction for years and years and years, and had gotten to the point where it was beginning to wreak havoc on his family and his marriage. And his wife had just given him an ultimatum. She said, "Either you start getting help for this addiction, or the kids and I are leaving you." And he sat in my office and he told me that he didn't think that he could do it. He thought he was too weak to be able to go through the process of recovery and being free from his drinking addiction. And he wept and he wept. But in a beautiful way, thanks be to God, that decision that he had to make, either his family or his addiction, was the beginning of a new life for him. It was the motivation that he needed to finally take that terrifying step of asking for help. And after that moment, he was able to enter into recovery, and he's been sober for a number of years now. Again, thanks be to God. But there comes a time in a lot of relationships in which there is a problem. And that problem is so grave that if it continues, the relationship cannot continue. And that ultimatum has to be given. And one person has to force the other person in the relationship to make a choice. Either this happens, or this will be the consequence. Either you take care of your gambling addiction, or I'm divorcing you in order to protect myself and our family financially. Either you get your grades up, or your mother and I are not paying for college next semester. Or maybe a little less serious, but probably what happens at this Mass, either you behave, or you're not getting a donut after Mass. But here's the thing, no one gives an ultimatum lightly. The only thing that, it only comes up after a long period in which someone refuses to recognize something is the matter. Something is wrong. There is a problem. And in that gospel today, something is wrong. And there is a problem. That Jesus for 3 years had been calling people to return to God. For 3 years, he had been calling them to follow him. And the reaction that he got from people was one of two things. Either they treated him like a magician, and they would come out because they just wanted to see him perform some miracle. "Heal that blind man, Jesus. Make some bread for us, Jesus." Or the second option, they came out just wanting to test him. They wanted to find out if he thought like they thought, if he had the same opinions that they had, and only then were they going to follow him. And that's what's happening in the gospel today. The people come up and they tell Jesus about the latest and the hottest current events, something terrible that had happened. There was a group of revolutionaries that were against the Roman Empire in the city of Jerusalem, and their group was growing and growing and growing, and Pilate, the Roman governor in the city, found out about them, and he was looking for them, and he wanted to put them all to death. But after months of searching for them, he couldn't find them, and he knew what he had to do. He knew that they were faithful Jews, and that they were going to show up in the temple on a certain day at a certain time in order to offer a certain sacrifice. And he knew that that was his chance. So he sent his soldiers incognito into the temple in order to hide there. And then when this group of revolutionaries came, and when they were in the very act of offering sacrifice to God and worshiping God, his soldiers brutally murdered them. That's what the gospel means when it says that their blood was mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. And the Jewish people, of course, were horribly offended by it. The whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar, and the people come to Jesus, the popular rabbi, and they want him to issue a statement. They want him to take sides. They say, "What do you think about this, Jesus?" And the question was terribly politically charged. Regardless of how Jesus answered, he was going to become the enemy of someone, either the enemy of the Roman Empire or the enemy of the Jewish people. And so this would have been like coming up to a religious leader today and asking him some kind of currently politically charged question. "Father, what do you think of DOGE? Father, what do you think of all of the immigration policies that are being enacted in our country right now?" You're trying to pigeonhole him politically to find out if he thinks like you. And for these people, the only way they were going to listen to Jesus was if he thought like them. And so Jesus is so angry. He came to earth to reveal God to us. He came to earth to offer us eternal salvation. He came to earth to show us that we have an eternal soul that is of infinite value. But people did not care. All that they wanted was someone who would entertain them or someone who would just confirm the opinions that they already had. People were blind and things were bad and it was a problem and things could not continue as they were. And so Jesus gives an ultimatum and he says to them, "If you do not repent, you will suffer a horrific death like those revolutionaries. You will suffer the death of your immortal soul." And that got their attention. I hope it gets ours today too. He goes on and he tells a parable. It's a parable of a fig tree that doesn't bear fruit. And the landowner wants to cut the fig tree down. But the gardener begs for the sake of the fig tree. "Let it stay one more year. Give it one more chance." And then another ultimatum comes. "Okay, fine. It has one more year, but if it doesn't bear fruit in 1 year, it's dead. We're cutting it down." And friends, here's the bad news. You are the fig tree, and I'm the fig tree. Take just a moment to start up your imagination today. I know it's still early. I want you to imagine what a fruitless fig tree looks like. You might be saying to yourself right now, "Father, I don't know what a fig tree is." So just imagine something. Imagine a tomato plant that doesn't bear fruit. What does it look like? Is your tree ugly? Are its leaves small and kind of yellowish? Is it dry and brittle and unhealthy looking? That's not what's going on in this parable. In this parable, actually in real life as well, usually if a fig tree is not bearing fruit, the tree itself is beautiful. Its leaves are lush and a dark green. It's healthy and it looks vibrant and it looks like it's doing wonderfully, but it doesn't bear fruit. And so the landowner's question, why should it exhaust the soil? It's pulling the water and it's pulling the nutrients and it's pulling the life out of the ground, but it's using those things only for itself. The fig tree is an image of a soul that is selfish, that cares only for its own needs, that thinks only of its own worldly life, that focuses only on its own plans and its own desires, that doesn't turn its attention to God, that doesn't turn its attention to others, that does not love anyone but itself. It's a soul that doesn't respond to God's call and that bears no spiritual fruit. A number of years ago, I was at a different parish, and I got a call to go to the hospital to visit a man. And he had been away from the faith for a long time, and he was dying. And I walked into that hospital room, and immediately I was struck by something. Except for that man, the room was empty. And we started to talk, and he was a rich and a successful and a powerful man, and in worldly terms, he had everything that he wanted. And he was dying alone. And in the course of our conversation, he admitted something that was just devastating. He said, "Father, I lived my life only for myself." And he began to weep and to weep with regret. Finally, he had gotten to the point where he understood he was the fig tree. His leaves were lush and vibrant, but he gave no fruit. And again, I look at my life, and there are real ways. I am the fig tree. I care only about myself. And friends, you are the fig tree. And those areas exist in your life too. And so the ultimatum today, it's for us. Unless you repent, unless you start bearing fruit, you will perish. That's a lot of bad news. But there's good news too. While we are the fig tree in that parable, Jesus is the gardener. Listen to him again. "Sir, leave the fig tree this year also, and I will cultivate the ground around it, and I will fertilize it. I will pour myself into it. Who knows, it may bear fruit in the future." The good news is that Jesus is not done with you yet, that he hasn't given up on you, and that in his mind, there's still time for us. All that we have to do then is to let him work, to cooperate with his grace. And that's why I'm here. Hi, I'm Father Clayton. I'm here because I recognize that a lot of times we don't know how it is that God is at work in our lives. And because we don't see how he's at work, we don't know how to cooperate with him. And so over the next few days, what I'm going to do is offer a parish mission entitled God's Playbook, a primer on how God works. And the goal is just to be able to point to the mysterious and often unrecognized ways that God is at work in our lives, so that we can start letting him work more deeply and more profoundly, so that we can cooperate with him. Because listen, friends, the ultimatum today is for us, but the gardener is hard at work. We just have to let him. I hope you can be here over the next few days in order to discover how it is that we can allow him to work in our soul.